Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey Guardians, welcome back to Fireteam Chat, where we are reacting to the latest Destiny 2 gameplay reveals. I'm Fran Mirabella, and I'm joined by CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
And James Duggan.
For the Horde!
There's your first World of Warcraft reference.
Every episode.
Yeah, so a very quick rundown. On today's show, we're discussing the second Curse of Osiris reveal stream, where Bungie showed off new ways to play. They detailed a new public event, their biggest thing yet, as well as a new quest system, how to get the forged weaponry at the lighthouse, and they give us a peek at the adventures which take you up and up into the Vex's dark future. As a quick note, your steadfast host, Destin Legere, is out this week enjoying some time off, which is also why we're uploading Fireteam Chat early this week. We've got a short week here in the States as we observe Thanksgiving and Iron Banner. as we head into the weekend. So lastly, I do want to make a note. Please take a moment to head to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fireteamchat, and check out our giveaway. Just check the comments for a link. We're on the final hours of this sweepstakes that we got going, where you can win a Destiny 2 Collector's Edition box on PC, Xbox, or PS4. And don't forget, that includes the expansions as well. Curse of Osiris is coming up. And even if you don't enter the giveaway, I would appreciate, we all would here at Fireteam Chat, if you just take a moment, pause things, and head over to YouTube and drop us a quick subscribe or follow. Thank you. All right, so back to the show, gents, now that we have the rundown.
That's right.
Expertly done, Fran.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Is there some end game included in that giveaway?
It's all the Fran game.
Fran game.
Is what it's about. So we're going to start with new content. So I'm just going to throw it out there. What were you guys expecting? And the new content I saw seems to be two main campaign missions and some strikes and stuff. But let's start
on that. You mean the same thing?
Yeah. Yes, with some slight variation. Duggan, yeah. I mean, what's
going to be
first
a salty
reaction?
Episode? Let's get
really. You're setting us up.
Oh, absolutely. I actually think it makes a lot of sense to just get into this here, which are the things that I wanted to see from the stream. Specific acquisition for weapons and armor is something I wanted to be a part of this expansion. A revamp progression system systematically, I think, is something that we all want. Strike incentives, whether it be heroic or the new strikes or whatever. I want incentives to go do that content because it's good content. And then finally, I think we needed some inventory management updates. My vault is full. My shader tab is full.
Yeah.
I am tired in my soul of Destiny 2 at this point.
And
I need a little bit of a revamp.
I should have brought my shield in the armor.
So that's the question. Duggan, of these things that you wanted to see, which were addressed?
Well, so there are... I mean, technically, there are specific acquisitions for weapon and armor. What is it called? The Lost Prophecies.
Yeah.
We still have a lot to see there. And the revamp progression they promised, but we totally didn't see. In fact, I think now is a good time to use these props. Because, you know, whenever we saw...
There's a demonstration, everyone. This is what you should be watching.
This is the most rewarding public event in the history of Destiny. And you will be getting two tokens. and a rear engine.
I didn't know that he does.
Just throw them on the table. Just
no, they'll fall off the table if you do that. Don't do that.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait. So
accurate.
Oh, I do want to gauge everyone's... You know what? Let's do general reactions. I can feel that we don't want to go through the rundown quite yet. Sean, what was your quick reaction on what you were expecting versus what you got out of this?
So I want to preface this by saying after the stream, I spent maybe half an hour trying to draft up a tweet that summarized my thoughts and could not do it.
Even
so
with
I do, 280K. Yeah, so I planned to get into it on the show, but my general overview is I was not very stoked on that stream. I don't feel like Bungie did a great job of convincing me that Curse of Osiris is going to breathe life back into Destiny. Yeah. And it didn't address the particular things that I think are longstanding issues that hardcore players like myself still have with the current game. And that kind of sours my anticipation for all the new stuff that they did reveal, which some of it looks interesting. Mm-hmm. But even the stuff that looks interesting, for instance, new strikes.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. They announced two new strikes. They come with a sort of big asterisk, a caveat, which is like, yeah, there's two new strikes, but they're also part of the campaign. Like, and people are like, oh, but they're not reskinned, or they're not just like pulled straight out of the campaign and now they're strikes. But according to Destin's preview, which I don't know if you guys read, they seem pretty similar. And that is a little concerning for me.
CJ?
There's not much to say. Anything that's being addressed without talking about the end game just feels like we're waiting for something, and there's nothing.
I just want you to – it's not your fault.
No, I know, but it's painful. Like, I blame you a little.
He's choking. He's like
defeated CJ.
He's like, oh, no.
I'm waiting for like, okay, there's going to be some like announcement for ranked or PvP or something.
Yeah, there was no
just
PvP.
Just give me the carrot.
Yeah.
Just give me some carrot. And there was two tokens and a blue engram.
I have
the yellow though.
That could not have been worse.
I know, like, just the feeling. I was like,
could not have been more poorly planned.
I know.
Yeah, I have
that section right there of that stream.
Yeah, a two-sided reaction. One is, I don't know why they insist on like the hear no evil, see no evil thing. I understand a little bit because they got to manage how they say things, and there's a lot that goes with it. But they're sort of in this situation that we know they're rebalancing the game, but like you guys are saying, like that's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Even just remind us, like Barrett had said, here's what's on my list.
Yes.
We are working on it. You should start every stream. Hey,
with that
we're doing it. I think they're afraid of the toxicity. Anyway, so it's too bad they're not able to talk about that more because I feel like we're in a little strung along. There is more coming. We know there's a big patch update that will be coming with season two whenever that hits, probably right before around. You know, we're like weeks away.
And that's what we're all waiting for. It's like we want that.
That's what everybody wants.
Especially
that's the real game.
Yeah, especially when you've seen them talk about it. It's like, okay, now you've addressed it. When's the date? Like, give it to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. All the content here for the $20 or $15 or whatever you paid, it's only going to take you so far, whether that's 4 hours or 10 hours, and then you're back to the real game, which is everything else, how you replay raids,
exactly,
how you join your friends. Yeah. And like, that's what everybody wants to know.
I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. Is like any experienced Destiny player or MMORPG player of any sort knows that the real game in that type of game starts after you finished the campaign and after that stuff. So it's cool that we're going to get a new campaign. It's cool that we're getting a new story and like a new public event. But once we do all that stuff, which is what, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours at the maximum, we're back to doing what we already did, which right now we know is broken and boring and not interesting or engaging. So like, even just a reminder during these streams that that stuff is being addressed or that they want to know, that they want to, that they're listening to us and want to address it. Like, that could go so far.
And we do want to get into the rundown.
I know. Last thing, if you're actually asking about what I was hoping for, the mod system. Like, just something that it feels like it's just there waiting. I know, but you just go, okay. Well, when I saw forged weapons, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Here it comes. And then it's like I kind of saw them do that, and then I was like, okay. And Sean and I were talking. We're like, I wonder if they, you know, when they forge that, is that a random weapon that's coming out? Is that going to change every
week? You were wondering if it was like reforging and that type of thing.
Well, let's get into it. So one of the things that you can do, right? And I guess
let's get into forging after. I want to make sure everybody out there
until the end of it.
And I know,
so we can get through all it, because not everybody at home watched
exactly. And that was the thing before we go too far down that path. And I know I'm like overly organized.
All good.
But I do want to go through it in a bit of an order. Okay, so the other thing I was going to say, though, is if they didn't do this, we wouldn't have much to talk about on the show every week. So if they just made us wait.
I have plenty to talk about.
So that's a good point.
I'd be talking about disconnecting from trials incessantly. The launch button not working. I'd be talking about...
God, I can't say anything.
It's a bad experience in terms of connectivity. But anyway.
Let's get into summing it up very clearly for people. So here's what they said about strikes and campaigns, right? We know that there's going to be two new strikes, which you will experience as part of the campaign. And did you guys catch the way they twisted it? Is they said, well, look, it's focused on the story stuff. It'll have those elements. And then for the strikes, it is sort of they didn't say redesigned, but it's changed somewhat.
Yeah.
So it's
modified,
different.
Yeah.
Modified.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway from that? Do you believe that it's going to be that different? I mean,
so I have to admit, I give Bungie, and this is why it's so hard for me to say this, because I give Bungie the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
Yeah.
And so when they said that it'll be remodified, I took that as, oh, great. So it'll be kind of like Sepix Prime was in Destiny 1, where the strike is kind of like the finale mission of like the world's progression in the story. That's kind of what I thought, right? And I hope that that is the case, and I don't know that it isn't until I play it. But according to Destin's preview, he couldn't detect whether there was a modified version or not. To him, they were the same.
Yeah,
and that is cause for
concern.
Under
embargo still, for the record, but
is it?
It's live now.
No, it's live.
Oh, you're talking about his brand new one.
The one that just came out today after the stream at noon.
And they talked about modifiers for those. Well, I guess in the heroic encounters at least.
Yeah,
To play devil's advocate here, I don't really care. Like, recycle the content. That's fine. I don't think that we are in a content deficit. I don't think that's the issue here. I think we are in an incentive deficit.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can recycle their two story missions and have them double up as strikes. That's fine. More strikes, the merrier. But there are still strikes that I have rarely ever done. As an example, like the Nightfall this week was the one on the, what is it called? The, on Titan with the Hive.
Sevathans,
I can't remember.
Is it Sevathan's Song or whatever?
I never know the names of any of the strikes.
It's the like garden biome.
Oh, yes.
That's
one. Isn't that Pyramidian?
Where they're harvesting Guardian's light and using it to power
the crystals. Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyway, great strike. That's the second time I played it I just have not had the incentives to go into the strike playlist. Hopefully, the heroic strikes will fix that. Yeah. But I think you can add more strikes to the pool, even if they're reused content. I think that's a lesser evil, and I actually think that's a smart decision because you can potentially use those resources elsewhere to work on progression, work on kind of fixing your end game. I'm all for that. We just, again, need to see that bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have as much of an issue because this has been a Destiny thing. We've always experienced some version of this that you play part of that world and then, it turns out it's a strike. I mean, sometimes they have totally unique strikes, but I don't mind it as long as they're fun because inevitably, because think about it. If a strike was even 100% unique, once you play it, it's not unique to you anymore. You know?
Well,
you're going to need to be able to replay it. It was my only point.
Replayability and incentives are the biggest part of any part of activities, right? Like in Destiny 1, we were all incentivized to shoot into a cave. And guess what? Everyone did for 1,000 hours. We shot into a cave, right? So even if it's a remastered or given to us again, recycled strike, if it's properly incentivized, sure, it's going to be good. I've said on the show multiple times, for me, strikes provide value to the player in a different way, which is new opportunities to explore the story and the lore and the characters. And I don't think
in
this way.
From that perspective.
But that might also just be my perspective.
Yeah, right. True.
But the issue is, at the end of them, you're just ultimately opening a box that's giving you tokens.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
that's what I'm hearing. Incentive, reward. None of this was showed. And certainly, I think
that's
one of
really
the
what I was
issues.
Hoping for. And they really, what's mind boggling is Deej really, and I know we should continue, Deej expressly said a new endgame progression.
Perfect segue.
Bam, there you go.
So
let's get into it.
During the new public event, which was the first thing they opened with on the stream, this is on Mercury, they said, quote, "It is the most rewarding public event we've created." And they also said, "It's the biggest thing we've built for public events."
I mean, biggest seemed pretty straight up.
Yeah.
It was big. Yeah.
It was
It's happening on one major central platform, two sort of side platforms, and you're taking these man cannons back and forth. So big, I get that.
But yes, then they say most rewarding, and I was watching chat. It seemed very poorly timed.
Oh, man, it was
please go says, watch this
there clip. There were two chests, and he's like, okay, here
he
we go, everybody.
Here we go.
And Duggan,
if you will, with the props one.
One token.
Two tokens.
And
double the token.
And a blue. And it was like a Titan sash.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I was like,
well, double the tokens for double the duplicates is my new saying that I've coined right
like,
now.
Yeah. It's like,
that's just my experience.
There's this huge drum roll to when they're opening the opening the chests, and then it's a gong.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and so that's the issue is they go back and we think they're going to maybe – like I joked. I'm like, oh, maybe it's an exotic per token. Yeah, you're going to take it back. I'm joking. But they got back and then they just didn't turn the tokens in. They went to show you the new quest system with the verses.
And the UI was different.
Which we'll get into after.
There was the token turn in, which seemed unchanged. You had the reputation. It wasn't stacking. There was that really cool Reddit done revamp of the vendor UI and how it could be interesting. And you could be accumulating this rep kind of a la World of Warcraft.
Like Destiny,
honored and revered,
like Destiny 1.
Or Destiny 1. Sure, that. and then you could that could unlock certain exclusive things like a sparrow or a ship or a weapon or whatever that you needed to get a certain amount of reputation. Yeah. So at least there's a little bit of a grind there. But it was unchanged. It was just it's a loot box progression. It's you're turning in tokens, you're getting a loot box engram, which is essentially just like a weapon that at some point like there's I have every legendary that I can get from
getting weapons is overall not hard to do.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So we know we have a reward problem, incentive issue, but let's talk about what we saw with the public event itself real fast. Maybe hear it from CJ just for a few since
I mean, I did like the actual event. I will say that I thought it was cool to have a different than just in a single space. It's like, oh, cool. You know, you're taking off here. You're dunking a ball.
Sweet dunks.
Yeah. It's like, so there's kind of some cool mechanics, but I was a little bit disappointed at the end. Ultimately, you're just like, putting bullets into a sponge.
Well, walk us through a little bit what you saw with the mechanics of the public.
Yeah, so it was cool. It's like as you went through, and I'm not sure even how like the you killed the balls and they dropped, and then you had to dunk them. But there
you
was
kill
no,
a major and they just
you
dropped.
Yeah. So yeah. Vex spawn out of these sort of portals,
right. You're
killing the Vex, and then a Gate Lord shows up. You kill the Gate Lord.
Yeah,
he
the
drops
the ball.
He drops a bunch of balls, which that was
their
weird
keys.
To me.
Yeah,
there's like five of them.
Yeah,
but it showed we're watching the stream from one player's perspective. He grabs the ball and dunks it. I'm wondering what the other balls are for. Can everyone dunk it?
Multiple.
Does everyone have to dunk it?
Yeah. So that's the
unclear.
Like,
you dunk a ball.
Yes, it's a lot, right? And I wasn't sure if did you dunk the ball? Like, is that like a prerequisite to actually killing the boss? Like, I didn't understand.
I think it opens the next.
It opens the next game.
Well, so what happens
like,
is,
so
yeah,
that's
like, you
okay,
kill you kill the dudes. He drops the ball. You take the ball. You dunk it. That takes off the Gate Lord's shield
to go into the portal.
You kill the Gate Lord. That opens the portal. Then you go to the next platform.
There you go. Right.
You do this three times. One per side platform, and then one in the center, and that's where the boss spawns. And you're kind of doing the same thing.
I thought it looked fun though. It's a
public
event.
It's fun.
Remember.
Yes.
And it, like, look, we already have these mechanics, like the big spider bosses. What do you call them?
The fallen walkers.
The fallen walkers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we know that they drop the balls, then you put them in the orbs in the side, and you get your cannons. Like it's the same philosophy.
Yeah.
And we also had dunks previously, as we know, in Destiny 1.
Yeah.
So it's not like brand new mechanics. I think that's the only thing that stuck out to me. I was happy to see sweet dunks.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm like, I've already done sweet dunks.
I've dunked
in Taking King.
I've dunked in the Taking King Sisters
and Rift.
Mission.
You know,
yeah,
some
exactly.
People making jokes about Rift. So I don't mind that. I think it looks fun.
Yeah.
But
we didn't see the heroic event either. So
we didn't see the heroic
event.
Maybe. No, I don't even want to posit that. The idea that the heroic event would give some kind of like worthwhile
no,
based on what
drop.
We've seen.
Well, what we saw was the heroic, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, they didn't
like,
figure the heroic.
No, 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 no. It does. They activate it. They really? Don't show you how they activate it. But in the stream, he's like, we're not going to show you, but they do it here.
Okay, I wasn't 100%
so those
sure
rewards
about that.
Are for the heroic. That's the even more disappointing part.
I got an easier way to get an answer because we keep going to incentive and rewards. On a scale.
I think we want
rewards. 1 to 5.
Oh, gosh.
Versus all the other public events in Destiny 2.
Why 5?
Yeah, because if I put it on the IGN scale, people are going to be smart. Alex, about
7.9.
I know where I'm getting. People are still going to rate it now. Nice job, everybody. So seriously, 1 out of 5 based on the public events we already have. How do you think this one looks? CJ?
It's about a 3. It's like a 3.5.
Okay, we're half. It's like I thought we were going to get whole numbers. That's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say 4. Like, it looks cool. I like the Vex. It seems big. I wish, like, one thing I was thinking is, like, I'm always thinking this, but how could this be cooler, right? I thought it'd be really cool.
Let's get Doug. I'll come back.
No, keep going.
What's your rating?
I just don't care.
Give me a number.
Wow.
0.
Not available.
0. Yeah.
You're not going to rate the quality of the public event for us?
Well, we
think the quality of the public event, I don't think the quality of their content is the issue.
I know. Trying to go through what we saw.
In terms of like dunking and grabbing balls and dunking them and shooting a guy, it's
dunking cool. Once end game.
Okay, but that's ultimately you play the game to get your reward and incentive, so it doesn't matter.
It absolutely matters, but the incentive has to be there to enable me enjoying the content. 100%
agree, which you cannot get past. I understand. Sean, what were you about to say?
I just thought it'd be cool if like the man can, if there was some skill element to the man cannons.
Oh, because it like seems when you get to be shot out of them. You
yeah, can, like if you could miss, like if you suck.
Something. Ooh, what if yeah. what if they're like, if they're swinging
like
rings that you
yeah,
have to, like, time and
that would be cool. Like, just give me a skill element, like make
what if
it
the man
more
of holiday
fun.
Came
you know,
in and she give you like a sparrow and because like, hey guardian, you're gonna have to drive this like, up in there.
It's the only public event that I know of that actively uses the man cannons. It's big, right? Like, wouldn't it be cool if there was yet another twist? Like they're swinging back and forth really quick,
sure,
and you have to time when you go through it so that you don't miss. The platform,
I like
yeah,
it's cool.
Like that would be cool. Or like if you said you had to like guy, like you shoot through. Maybe it's a
some rings are converging. In
it, yeah, and you have to time it so that you go through them to activate the Gate Lord or something like that. I don't know. Just get creative, man. I don't get it. Like, it's so frustrating.
To be fair,
we're
not
pretty solid here. Yeah,
I'm not agreeing with you that I don't think it's creative because I don't know the mechanics yet. But I do think I don't know. I think another thing that I would like to see. I will not reference World of Warcraft this time. I'll reference Warhammer
Online.
Because
you already did
in the first 10 seconds of the show.
So Warhammer Online had a really cool system that was basically public events where you'd get together, a boss would pop up or whatever, and you'd have to do all these mechanics. And you get a reward just like public events in Destiny. The difference being, depending upon your scale of involvement and how good you were at the event, how much damage you did, how many mechanics you got correct, how much damage you took, like dodging telegraphs, you were ranked on a system from first place to 10th place, and then you would get a random roll after that. So it would mix everybody up. But depending on how well you did, it would inform your quality of reward. So if you did number one, you had a much higher chance of like getting a good roll to get a better reward.
So you're incentivized to not
suck. It's like competitive. Like, let's make it a little bit competitive. Instead of me
just
doing like...
Those drops at the end of the match.
Where are my tokens?
Duggan,
how do I still have
them? No, Duggan, here's the thing. But that's not how it works. It's if you shoot the boss... Everybody gets a medal.
I know.
So what I'm hearing is, I think to be objective, this does look like the biggest public event. I think it looks fun.
Yeah, sure.
And when you look at, honestly, there's some like kind of boring public events. This one looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
So I want to give credit where credit's due. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's no Taken Blight. Yours. That's for sure. It doesn't seem like Taken Blight.
Yes, it's no Taken. Like, actually, I'm not a fan of
that. Dude, at least Taken Blight is cool because as a Titan, I can like go in and slam inside those bubbles and kill like 1,000 things.
Supposed to. That's the thing. Is when you do that, you don't trigger the heroic. And
yeah, but
like me,
care.
We're trying to jump out of the bubble and
but
shoot it.
Bringing it back to the point, I think it looks fun. We have to play it yet. I haven't played it yet. Did Destin talk about playing it in his impressions by chance?
He was very apathetic about
he did play it.
I think, again, because mechanics.
I mean, apathetic isn't the right word. But like he was it's like a lot of
You don't sit next to him, to be fair.
I used to sit next to him for like 2 years.
He's like,
I do think it looks fun. We got to get out there and play it still to see. Let's move on from public events. And next up, they showed us forging. They actually forged the Jack Queen King
three.
I don't know why
the hand cannon.
It is three cards there, but
so can we talk about the system though?
Yeah, let me quickly sum up though what happened. They picked up a quest line, which was verse 3, which is 1 of 11. Oh, that's why. It's Jack Queen King 3, because it's verse 3. That's probably why.
Maybe
number 11 verse that all those numbers are attached. Sorry. You got to collect these concentrated Radiolorian cultures and advanced paradox amplifiers. I just wanted to say that.
Wow. Yeah, I knew you did.
I did.
You were confusing people so much. Broad overview. Can we, like, one level up?
No, no,
what it is.
No, but you collect stuff. Yeah. Hold on, let me just finish. And then, you turn that in at the lighthouse and you brought it to that dial. And from the dial is where you forge that weapon. You actually see it being forged in light, and then you get it.
So here's the first question.
Hold on. Can we back up?
Do we think that the Lost Prophecy box number 3 is always going to yield Jack Queen King 3?
That's what we were talking about. So here's the question. I mean, not the question. The overview, if you didn't catch it, the stream. This is a new thing called Lost Prophecies. You talk to Brother Vance to get it.
Yep.
He has three... what are these called?
Lost
verses. Three verses available, which we think will refresh every week, right?
Yeah.
You can select one of them, meaning if you have multiple guardians, you can probably pick up all three.
Yeah.
And when you pick this thing up, it gives you the quest to go grab these resources. Once you assemble all the resources, you're available. You can go to this forging mechanism thing that is in the lighthouse, and it makes a weapon for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this weapon that they revealed is Jack Queen King 3.
Yes.
Good. And they did say
up the Lost Prophecy.
And they did say during the stream that there are 11 verses.
Yes.
Okay. That are that Brother Vance.
So you would imagine they either have their own loot tables per verse. Mm-hmm. Or if they yield a single result, but there's no random rewards. So it would almost be like a faction rally just trying to get all of those.
Right.
And there could be some really good weapons there. I guess my question is, like, let's take a step back and decrypt what this is. Because I think this is a step in the right direction where we could potentially get a little bit of specificity in terms of what our loot is. But we don't know that. So essentially what's happening is we're picking up like kind of a bounty in the form of this box. Mm-hmm. We are then going to do content. And they made it sound like you can do Crucible, you can do Strikes.
Yep.
I bet you can do public events. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a token system.
Yep.
And then you're taking those tokens and infusing them into this box to get a particular reward. So at least, at the very least, like looking over the fact that this is essentially an elaborate token system, at least you are picking a reward. So that is definitely a step forward if that is the case.
It's just a classic quest, though. Like you get a quest and then you go and you get these materials. That's
by doing things in the game, like strikes and
like I read
public events and whatever.
Yeah, that's why I wrote this down. Like I noticed, I think it was the Advanced Paradox Amplifier. Yep. It said it was a rare drop from public events.
Oh, okay. So it is content specific. So that's great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that could incentivize strikes. If there is
it is like that. It's sounded like Crucible, Strikes, all that other stuff. It did feel a little bit like the artifacts where, you know, there's three available at Tire Carn every week and you got to go pick them up. I mean, but that's kind of the issue. It's that if there's going to be 11, you pick them up. Okay, 3 divided by 12, so we got 4 weeks of content.
It's
better than no weeks.
I mean, it is.
Well,
but it's
also
like,
assuming that that one verse means one weapon.
So that's the only thing that I guess I'm a little bit maybe
like, what
hopeful.
If there's three different weapons per verse?
Forge the weapon, which kind of feels odd to me because in Destiny 1, you could potentially re-roll the weapons. Maybe there's some hidden gem there. Hidden. Maybe it's a little surprise and delight there. I know.
Maybe.
That's okay. There are small... like yield loot boxes, essentially, where there are 11 different categories and you stand to at least get one of three weapons.
Yeah.
That, I think, A, gives you a better grind, and B, gives you more control over the grind without flat out giving you, hey, here's your weapon. It doesn't have random rolls on it. And there's no more content for you.
I don't know if it's going to be that, because remember, when you go up to that sundial and you forge, the little glyph shows up.
Uh-huh.
It seems to indicate
you
you're done
with that one already.
Like, unless there's some other mechanic. No, I don't know, but it looks like you get the one
you're
done. And you move on to the next one. I don't know. Yeah. But that is forging weapons. We got to see it. We knew it was coming. They had talked about forging weapons.
I mean, it's cool. Like, I will say, like, I like that mechanic. I feel like this is another conversation about the random versus static weapon roll thing. And I feel like if that was a randomized hand cannon with a various set of perks, and maybe somehow, again, the mod system comes into play, that would be cool because there'd be this incentive to do this every week, and maybe there'd be something new.
If these parts of the quests are fun, I think that's what they were, I think, trying to get at when they were talking about you can go play in the Crucible and you can go do strikes. As it turns out, as far as I can tell, you still have to go do the public strikes. So meaning, the public events.
It's like a bounty system.
If you only like doing Crucible, I don't think you can pick up one of these forge quests.
That's okay.
Only
like honestly, like incentivizing content sometimes takes you to a thing that it's not your favorite, but maybe you end up liking it.
Yeah,
I think that's better.
No. I agree with that.
Yeah, people that thorn kills in Destiny Year One for that reason.
Yes,
like they got them into playing the Crucible.
My only point was, I hope that it's pretty simple, and it is just go do some strikes, go do whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, that is why the content itself, the strike itself, the public event itself, I think matters so much.
Yeah.
But what I don't want to do is get into collecting like too many material drops and stuff like that, which in Taken King and Vanilla was just brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
Because they
I didn't get all the swords in Destiny 1. I just couldn't. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
As awesome as the sword.
I got one sword and was like,
the dark.
I will never do that again.
At least you guys had a mission statement from, you know, going out with an idea of what you had to do, as opposed to like, I haven't gotten the raid rocket launcher. I've done that raid 6 times at this point, so I'll just keep doing that raid.
Welcome to Destiny Raids.
That's right.
I don't care. Anyway.
Yeah, there is something there, though, because like as much as I chose not to go out and get one of these swords, I knew that the Dark Drinker, for example, was like powerful and worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it gave you something to do and a good reward. So let's move on to the last few things. Yep, sure.
I just want to touch on the forge system in general. I hope that, number one, that it's not just public events, strikes, and Crucible. I hope that there are like levels of difficulty in terms of the tier. I hope it becomes Nightfall Strikes. I hope it becomes Prestige Raid.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Like, basically, as you get, we saw number three, if you get higher and higher or whatever,
yeah,
the challenges and the quest that you have to complete becomes more and more difficult.
Right, make some of them
right.
Really
right. And I think this is rewarding. A big step forward for them. My favorite content in the game right now, or my favorite gear in the game right now, is the Trials of Osiris Flawless Armor, which I'm just missing the arms, by the way. I'm very close. And then also Legend of Acrius. And I like those two things in particular because there is only one way to get them. You cannot get Flawless Trials from Hawk Lady.
Yep.
You cannot get Acrius without doing the raid a bunch and powering it up. So in addition to incentivizing content that I like playing, it is also telling a story for the loot. Like somebody sees me with Legend of Acrius and Flawless Trials.
Which
like,
was the promise.
Destiny 1.
That was the promise of Destiny 1.
I was going to say, Acrius is probably the one in particular. That is classic Destiny stuff. It's actually really powerful.
And it's really good. Yeah.
And it is hard to get.
Yep.
But it's worth
it. It takes time to level up. I love it.
It's the raid. Power.
They need to isolate that progression line. And
two more
down.
Of that.
Yep. This is mind-boggling. This is so much of Destiny 1 that's just missing from Destiny 2.
Yep. Well, they're trying to Destiny shake 3. Things up. So we're going to just talk a little bit about
$60, Destiny 3.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about the weapons that we did see as well out there. First of all, what did you think of the Forged Jack Queen King. What'd you think of the look of it?
It's really cool.
I kind of didn't like the look.
Really?
Yeah, the kind of cobbled together look. I didn't like
Sean
it.
Sean doesn't like the look.
Yeah, I mean, just like aesthetically.
No, I thought it was cool to see all the little tubes off the side of the guns.
Yeah, see, I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Because I think you got 10 more of those coming your way.
I know.
I'm with Sean. I like how kind of thrown together Wardcliff Coil is, because if you read the lore, it was like some guy who just mad scientist had to throw this together to kill a bunch of fallen. That's cool. Yeah. This feels like, it just feels like I'm like duct taping a weapon together.
It really looked like something out of Fallout, like something that you might have built together on your bench when you have no idea what you're doing.
Like Iron Banner year two or three weapons there. They're just kind of like,
like
to be clear, that's not a negative. Like they went in a direction. It's a cool direction. Some people are going to like it. Some people are not. Whatever.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like I like that they thought about the design of the weapon and thought about how it might tell the story of Osiris and stuff. Yeah. I just don't like the aesthetics.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's like the same idea as like, if you remember, is it Kaber from the Vex Vault of Glass? But he was in there designing. I thought he did like No Time to Explain and the timepiece. Sorry, it's the
Praetus
timepiece. I thought he was involved in designing that gear. Anyway, I think the idea is something like that Osiris had to do with a lot of this.
Did you like them?
I'm kind of reserved. I would like to see more. Like, I think it looks fine.
Yeah.
But there was nothing where I was like, oh my God, those look so cool. I'm not really there yet.
It's purely a subjective thing, too. Like, for me, the weapons that really struck a chord for me were the Wrath of the Machine ones. All of the... What's that? What's it called? The
SIVA?
Yeah, the SIVA infested weapons looked all really cool to me.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people that didn't like that too, and it's just a matter of taste.
Okay. Well, we saw some other weapons in there. CJ, you were talking a little bit about shotgun, pulse, and a sidearm.
Yeah, the shotgun looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like looks like a full auto shotgun.
With seven shots.
Doing some work. And then the pulse seemed okay, but it seemed a little bit too slow firing for me. I like Lincoln Green.
I think it was high impact.
I like this fast. Like, I mean, Mida, obviously, but Lincoln Green is kind of like it's got more bullets and RPMs versus that.
It did look more like Relentless, the
Midnight Pulse. Nameless Midnight. Yeah,
yeah. That's Scout.
Scout.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
You're thinking of Nightshade, maybe?
It's faster.
Nightshade's good.
A little slower than Nightshade. Actually.
Anyway, it's one of those slower rate, higher impact.
It didn't look that good,
I thought it looks okay, but I know most people don't like that in the game so far.
There's some people on PC who love pulse rifles, and they will refuse to use other things in trials, which is cool.
That's nice. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And then there was a sidearm, which looked like it was wrecking up close, actually, but all sidearms seem to do for the most part.
But it's not Last Hope, so whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. So that's what we saw so far in there. I don't know if we missed anything else because we just like watched the stream and ran in here. That we're also
Infinite Forest.
Yeah. I do want to make one of those notes. We're on one of those episodes where like there could be like tweets between like Lars and like the things have transpired since we've been in here. It's because of the short holiday. We had to get
this out of the way. Chests were bugged. They were not supposed to drop tokens.
Say that. Do we have a whole episode on that? Anyway.
So Infinite Forest. Did you touch on that?
Yeah, we're actually going to talk about adventures. That is next up. So actually, you go through the Infinite Forest as part of the adventuring. So, I mean, Doug, it seems like you want to talk about Infinite Forest.
Yeah, that's a great system. We see it in roguelikes, and basically it's this kind of pseudo-randomized but not entirely procedurally generated thing. So when you go into Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 and you go into a like greater rift, you see some biomes that were hand-created, and then you see some stuff like catacombs that are just pieced together based on a computer algorithm. And to Deej's point, I agree that sometimes those purely randomized things don't always confer great gameplay. You get some weird little hiccups with mob spawns or what have you, and some of it can feel kind of samey. So I like what they're doing here. They basically have a bunch of Lego pieces that they are throwing together in this semi-randomized thing where I'm playing on a platform. This platform was designed by a human-level designer. Mm-hmm. Then another platform is appearing, and the Infinite Forest, thematically, is a really cool way to tie this together. I think it's cohesive. I think it's great. Yeah. My problem... Here we go.
Here it is.
is it properly incentivized?
Well, right, no.
But also, you're choosing the end, right? You're choosing what you're getting to.
Yes.
Which is, in this instance, was this dark future where the Vex had taken control. So you're already determining that from the get-go.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of takes the punch out of it.
It's your bridge
to get there. And there was nothing particularly difficult about that Infinite Forest. It was a couple of...
Shoot bosses.
Couple of Vex guys, couple of Hive guys. You shoot them in the head. You move past it. There's a ton of resources thrown into creating those this Infinite Forest. And you were moving through it to get to a pre-constructed ending that you've already chosen that you are expecting. Yeah. So the idea of like the procedural, randomized, replayable thing doesn't really work if the end goal is not procedurally generated and not echoing the design sentiment.
Yeah,
how was it chosen? I have a question. How was it chosen?
So this
I must have missed
that
part.
It was called the Up and Ups, like whatever, like so. Yeah, adventure. We watched, and they went to do an adventure called Up and Up. But on the way, you go through what Mercury into the Infinite Forest,
and basically they said, oh, you know, you're going to be able to play a bunch of different enemies. It could be Vex, could be Hive, could be whatever, which is cool because they've never been in the same space at the same time. So that was neat. But then it's like, okay, you shoot them, and then you go through the portal and then you're at the
I agree with Duggan. It's kind of the same outcome.
But I'm still kind of confused. So the adventure we saw was called the Up and Up, but does that mean that the Up and Up always results in the dark future Vex
thing? I think so.
Yeah,
if that's
maybe,
not the case, then I'm misunderstanding
it.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I would love if the Up and Up was always a jumping puzzle, but it could have one of a bunch of different random
outcomes. I don't think those parts are procedurally generated. It was just like those pieces
of
the
middle. None
of
it's procedurally generated.
No,
but
you're right.
It's procedurally chosen, designed concept.
Right. And they actually said that wasn't completely random. Them, there's some factors at play. They didn't say exactly
what again,
it was.
Why am I playing this, man?
Like, you seem to be like you were into it, and now you're like...
No, I'm super into this. Yeah. This is not the problem. The raid is great. Strikes are great. This new Infinite Forest idea is really cool.
Yep.
I'm down to check all of it out, but again, you know, why am I going back? Why does it need to be randomized if I'm going to go through there and get a token? If it's going to be Lost Sectors, right?
Yeah, I know.
You know, why? What's the point of having a randomized Lost Sector?
One small piece of it. So wait a second. Let's talk about Up and Up, which was the adventure that we saw where they venture into the Vex's dark future.
Yep.
Again, this idea where the Vex have like simulated every sort of outcome.
Which is cool.
Where they win. Yeah, it's a cool concept. Yeah, yeah. And actually like this world where there's no light, no dark, so to speak. It looked kind of dark, but they called it a dark future. But anyway, you go up there. It's a pretty cool environment. It's very like stormy looking. But what we saw as you go through this adventure, you go through part of the Infinite Forest, and that is the part that I understood has some randomness.
Yep.
But for the most part, the adventure is the adventure. In fact, they said you can play a bunch of these and never be confused which adventure you're playing.
Right.
So it's not that the adventures are random. So we went through, and then you saw us kind of going up. We had this jumping puzzle, a little like classic Vault of Glass feel, and then you arrive at the top, and you fight a bunch of enemies in this stormy, dark future. There's some enemies on platforms. I thought it looked fun. For an adventure, it looked, you know, pretty, like the scope was good, I thought.
Yeah. Well,
what did you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's like, if you think about now, right now, I'm just going to try to, again, relate to Destiny 1. You had a score that was called Grimoire, which they pulled out of the game, but that was the thing that you did because, oh, this is the first time I've done this adventure.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've done this. And to Duggan's point, I think that's the issue. You do all these things, you want some kind of tracking or reward or progression thing that just says, hey, I did this. Even if it's just Grimoire score. Like, it was just a score.
Which contributed to your record book in the end, actually,
though. That's the thing, right?
Ornaments and stuff.
And you know those. You know the information is being tracked. So why is it, like, held behind Destiny Item Manager? Like, why don't we see the fact that, oh, we've done this strike so many times?
I don't think they were ready in the end. Because Iron Banner wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I know, man.
Yeah, and there's a much larger overarching thing that is causing all of these issues that I would love to cap off the episode with, but we'll save that for now.
We're basically almost out of time behind.
What
do you guys think of the adventures? And then
the adventure seemed cool. Like, I mean, there's some running, there's some jumping. The environments look awesome. I love the idea that, like, on any time you do it, you might be fighting the Vex, you might be fighting the Hive, you might be fighting the Cabal, or some, like, mishmash of all of them. That's cool.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't really get why parts of it are randomized other than the story elements, which that's the coolest part to me, is like this idea that
it's like
you're existing in a simulated reality that the Vex are using to explore their own ends. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah.
I wish we saw more of the changing. Like, every portal you go through, it's a totally different reality and like visually distinct instead of just the end. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Again,
it's
I'm always kind of thinking, I'm always kind of thinking, like, how could this be better? But I liked what I saw. But in the end, the reward was really interesting because it was a token. And it was like, that seemed awfully long for a token.
A lot of tokens.
especially if I can just go to that winding cove and cheese that door. I'll just do that.
Yeah. Also, in Destin's preview, he said a lot of it was he said a lot of it was skippable.
Yeah,
like you can just run by and kill one enemy, open up a portal.
I,
what did you think?
Loved the look of the adventure. That's where I'm like wondering
aesthetically.
If I will have ever been. What I really wanted to know is, because they talked about, again, you won't be confused which adventure you're playing. But as we experienced with some adventures in Destiny 2, they were like pieces of things you've already done. However, there was a couple like really cool adventures, like the Sturm quest, which took you back through one of my favorite areas, and then I think it even expanded on it. So again, I'm wondering how much of it's like you haven't seen if you go do the adventure.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, where it almost feels like a new mission or whatever.
So, and potentially if the forging ability of these weapons has some kind of little piece that required you to do those adventures,
then I'm on board.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
And why, like, maybe. Hopefully it does.
Sure.
Like, we don't know,
that'd
but
be
it
interesting
doesn't.
If they like hid materials within adventures and you had to like go get
there.
It. You know, go get
like,
your
what
ghost
if you,
fragments.
Or like, what if you do the adventure and you pick up some item and you have no idea what it is, and then like 2 weeks later you get the quest or
find
you get the verse and it's like
force.
You have that and like oh man, that's what it's for.
Incentive.
Little surprise, that'd be cool.
There we
incentive.
Go.
So they have one more stream next week, I believe.
They do.
Do we know what the title is of this one?
I Best didn't stream? Bring with me him, but I think it focuses a little more on
Oh, they're gonna talk about two things. And that can be summarized in 30 seconds, but they'll stretch it out to half an hour.
Oh, wow. Again. Wow, this was, he was very disappointed.
I'm used to Blizzard streams where they're like, hey, we have this, we have this, we have this, we have this. Watch a World of Warcraft expansion trailer.
Yeah.
They just go boom, boom, boom.
And every single one of them, you're like hear the roar of the crowd. Like,
So here's what I want to talk about as the final thing. And I think a lot of what we're seeing,
out.
You know, from a development standpoint, I think it's a little bit unrealistic to assume that everything that we want is going to be fixed in this first expansion, given that they started developing it at launch, or even a little bit before launch, and they're working on Curse of Osiris. I think that talking about the Grimoire, talking about a lot of the like progression systems that we saw in Destiny 1, not making it over to Destiny 2, all of these things that we want, I think, are a symptom of a sequel-based development strategy, something that is iterating and resetting. And when you have one team that is disparate from the other team that is making improvements to your overall game design, and the other one is just focused on this new content, these new levels, these new enemies, this new story, I think it gets lost. And I think that's what we are starting to see. And I think we can even see that with things like Battlefront 1 and 2, where there could potentially be lessons learned, and then there's a whole new loot system in the second one. It's completely different. Everything is reset. Servers fall apart the first day. I'm having server problems with Destiny 2. I imagine if this were an expansion or whatever, that probably would not be the case.
Right.
So I think what Destiny 2 has taught me as a games as a service guy, as somebody who plays League of Legends, World of Warcraft, World of Tanks, what have you, you know, these games that are sticking around, Rainbow Six Siege, and not having sequels, and if they are, it is years and years and years and years after. It is taught me to potentially avoid investing emotionally and time-wise into things like Destiny 2 and Destiny 3. Because if the cadence is they release and it resets a lot of the progress they already made in the first game, and they just don't have the resources because they're so interested in cranking out this content that is essentially pretty shallow because you're going through it once.
Sure.
As an MMO thing, I'm just not really interested in supporting that or playing that.
People have said it before. Like, you got to be able to walk away from a game like Destiny and know that it's okay. And that's what I've done. Like, I just haven't really...
Because it still wasn't what Destiny 1 was. And, I think that's the biggest thing.
Destiny 1 eventually became.
Became, yeah. But that, yeah, I think that's what we're all feeling, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good note to wrap things up on, which is, if you remember, Vanilla Destiny, it only had so much to it. And then they had to roll out Dark Below. And then they had to roll out Prison of Elders and blah, blah. And it, unfortunately, to James' point, this stuff took time. And so I think we all walked in that we're going to get everything from Destiny 1, basically, and more.
Well,
and then they changed everything.
We should.
As well, and created tokens and gambling and all that stuff. And so I think we're all experiencing that, you know, where we just feel like, I don't know what to make of this right now. I mean, I really don't.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. So I'm very curious. The patch really is going to be important. I think it's the thing we're all talking about, is the elephant in the room. So I don't think next week, because their stream is on the Crucible as well as new inventories. That's what it's on next week.
Yeah.
Well,
there we go. There was one of my notes addressed. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
But they title it New Gear to Earn. So maybe we'll hear
maybe
a little more.
That's great.
Maybe we'll hear more about what they've talked about. They talked about it at TwitchCon, where they don't just want to nerf or buff weapons into the right state. Not that they're not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
They said we want to introduce new stuff.
I love that.
That then that becomes what you go chase. Yeah. So maybe
that's the Hearthstone design philosophy. Because, you know, Better Devils is only good in the context of without Hawkmoon in the game. You know, if Hawkmoon is there, Better Devils is not your choice. So that's a really cool design philosophy.
And right now, I mean, let's face it, unfortunately, and this hurts me to say, the end game is really bright engrams, and that kind of is a bit of a sour.
Oof.
Sucks.
You know, I mean, it's crazy if
that's
feels
like
that way to you.
Such a touchy point for
me,
too, because you know what that does is it encourages microtransactions, which I have been against that since the beginning.
I don't feel like that's the end game, though.
I mean, it's like, what is everything? It's not, but
what
that's
haven't
the
you earned that isn't part of Bright Engrams?
So it's all the Uriel's stuff that you want. Right.
Oh my God. Really? You still don't have a Uriel?
No, I have. It. I'm saying that you can't get that's the end game is elsewhere.
But
the,
right? but I'm saying everyone game, has that.
The
already.
End game is a couple powerful weapons that you get from like you know legendary.
There's stuff trapped in there,
and that's about it, right? And so there is some stuff trapped in there. And the last thing I will say before we end the show, trials elimination,
please
just bring it back. Like I love Trials of the Nine; it's fun. But the reality is, Trials was again we've talked about it. I've said it many times. The glue for keeping Destiny alive for so many years. Please. You know,
for a certain tier of players, to be
even after 3 or 4 weeks, I agree.
I feel fatigued
with every other content except Trials, and I'm beginning to feel fatigued on Trials because of the experience of connecting and disconnecting from the service.
Yeah,
so, I agree. But I played it.
Has to be fixed.
I mean, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that my reaction to all of this stuff has been very lukewarm. But in this third stream, if they say, "Oh, by the way, Trials of Osiris is back, 3v3.
Now I
would be like I would be so happy.
Exactly. I hear you guys. Like I'm with you because I played it every weekend. I'm one of those players, but you can't ignore all the other players that raided.
I
they strike
totally
and they
ignore
chase the things you're talking about. Quest lines
back.
Like that. I want to have it back, but they have a lot more to fix. So
bring
I guess
it back.
We shall see. Let's wrap up the episode. I do want to ask all of you out there. Now is the time to be getting into the comments, telling Bungie how you feel. What did you think of the reveal? What do you want to see? What are the most important things? Try to keep it concise, because if they hop in the comments, they might be reading what you have to say.
Ooh.
Additionally, we would love it if you could leave a little thumbs up or thumbs down on this week's episode if you're out there on YouTube, and then likewise maybe a review on the podcast services or whatever. Seriously, we really appreciate all your support. Destin, we miss you, but have fun back in the homeland. He'll be back next week, and we'll get back to it with him. So that's it for this episode. So you guys know what time it is?
I think
until next
tool
time.
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.